Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a pretty popular show on TV right now. It's called American Ninja Warrior. And with a title like that, how could it not be popular, right? I mean, it's a pretty popular show. Some of you probably have seen the show. This show has a series of really intense athletic obstacles that you go. It's kind of an obstacle course with these intense things that you have to accomplish to get from one end of the course to the other. And I brought some pictures just to give you a sense of what this looks like. So look, show us the first one. So you have to jump across these bouncy ball things, across these bodies of water to get from one platform to another. And then you move on in the next slide. You have to do swing kind of trapeze style from one platform to the next. And then you have to climb up and down these underneath these stairs kinds of things. That just gives me the creeps even looking at it. That's just terrifying to me. And then you have to jump across things with these rings, kind of like monkey bars, but swinging from place to place. And then we have, this guy didn't make it. These like teeter-totter things that you try to go across without falling in, unlike that guy. And then at the end of the course, there's always this, the obstacle courses change from place to place. But at the end, there's always the wall. If you make it through all those other obstacles, you have the wall to contend with. And so you have to take a running start and try to climb your way up this wall. And then you get up there, and if you make it up there, there's this button that you slam down and it records your time and it shows that you have completed the course. Very few people actually get to push that button. All right, thanks, Luke. In our scripture reading for this morning, on this first Sunday in the season of Lent, we see a few different passages that describe what might be called spiritual challenges, these spiritual obstacle courses, these tests that people undergo to try to make it from point A to point B. First of all, we have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. At first, Adam and Eve had it made there in the garden. They lived in the middle of abundance, all of these trees with all kinds of fruit that they could eat from. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to worry. They didn't even have to wear clothes. It was a pretty ideal situation. God provided everything that they needed with only one rule, only one command. You see that tree in the middle? That tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that one tree, you can eat all the other fruit in the garden except from the fruit from that one tree in the middle. If you eat of that fruit, you will die. Well, enter the serpent, more crafty than any other creature. The serpent goes to Adam and Eve and says, "Did God say you shouldn't eat from that fruit?" Planting that little bit of doubt. And here is that first obstacle in their course. Here's that first challenge that they receive. And Eve replies to the serpent, "Yes, that's exactly what God said." In fact, she quotes God's word, word for word. So far, so good. They make it through the first obstacle. But the serpent was not done yet. The serpent goes on to say, "You know, you're not really going to die if you eat that fruit. What God is really concerned about is that if you eat that fruit, it's going to open your eyes and you're going to be like him. And that's what God is trying to avoid for you. You won't really die." And so Eve starts looking at this fruit. She starts thinking about how tasty it looks. It's perfectly ripe. It's glistening in the sun. It just looks so appealing. And then Eve starts to think about how nice it would be to have the wisdom of God. And what would be so wrong about that? And so she eats of the fruit. And Adam, who was there with her this whole time, he ate of the fruit as well. And boom, just like that, they fell. They failed. They were knocked off course. And now everything would be different for them and for all humankind. It's what we call the fall. Speaking of this story, a couple years ago in preschool, I had this story that I was telling the kids for chapel time here that I do on Wednesdays, and I asked them the question, after telling the story, I asked them the question, I thought rhetorically, I said, "Would you disobey God for a piece of fruit?" And they all said, "Yeah, they sure would." It's like, man, these kids really like fruits. It's like, if it was like a Reese's peanut butter cup, I could see that, but fruit, really? But anyway, they're really into fruit. So you see how easy it is for us to fall. We will disobey for the littlest thing, for a piece of fruit. Then we come to the gospel reading for this morning. Matthew takes us into the wilderness with Jesus, where Jesus was in the wild for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, one thing that's important to understand here is that Matthew originally wrote his gospel primarily for a Jewish audience. It's got kind of a Jewish flavor to it because he wrote primarily, initially, for a Jewish audience. And so when a Jewish audience would hear Matthew's version of this story, when they would hear the words wilderness and the word 40, they automatically would have thought of Israel. They would have thought of Israel and their time of spending 40 years in the wilderness. And so this is an intentional backdrop that Matthew is pointing out for us as he prepares to tell this part of the story of Jesus. Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. It was a time of intense spiritual challenges for them, one test after another. The first obstacle, or the first test or challenge for Israel came shortly after they were delivered out of slavery in Egypt, and they all got hungry. That's right, the first obstacle was simply that they had a little rumbly in their tumbly. They were kind of hungry. And you know how people are when they're hungry, they get a little bit whiny and they start to grumble. Well, Israel started to grumble against Moses and grumble against God. They started to say absurd things like, we were better off back in Egypt. The food back there was way better. Yeah, we might have been slaves, but at least we had meat to eat. The Israelites, in their hunger, they started to doubt God's promises. They started to doubt God's goodness. And so they stumbled and fell. They were thrown off course. They failed their test. And so Moses would say to them, God let you be hungry in order to teach you that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Another test or challenge in this spiritual obstacle course for Israel came when they were thirsty. First it was hunger, then another time it was thirst. When they became so desperately thirsty, they dared to challenge God. Are you going to care for us or not? We need water now. Did you deliver us from slavery only to let us die out here in the wilderness? They wanted God to prove himself then and there and on their terms. They dared to test God, and in so doing, they were failing their own. And so Moses said to the people, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." More tests for Israel came as they finally came out of the wilderness and entered into the promised land. Now they have the Ten Commandments, and the very first of the Ten Commandments is, "You shall have no other gods before me." And if you even have a passing familiarity with the Old Testament, you know that every time a new god was dangled in front of Israel, they worshipped it, right? Any time new shiny new idol was presented to Israel, most of the people let that become their god, anything that happened to catch their eye. And so, boom, down they would go again and again and again. These stories of Israel's time going through this course, going through this wilderness, these stories provide the essential backdrop for understanding Jesus' time in the wilderness. Jesus himself has these stories in his mind as he's making his way through this challenging course the devil puts him through. Like Israel, Jesus was hungry. He was famished. And then came this test, this temptation. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus replied to the devil using the same words Moses spoke. It is written, Jesus said, that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil tried to lure Jesus into testing God. He said, throw yourself down from the roof of this temple. Let God prove that he will save you. And again, Jesus quotes the words of Moses, the words he spoke in the wilderness. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Then the devil invites Jesus to fall down and worship him. And it's at this point Jesus has had enough. He says, "Away with you, Satan." And then he quotes the first commandment. "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So can you see what is happening here? Jesus has completed the course. He's made it through the obstacle course. Where Israel failed, Jesus succeeded. So what does this mean? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for all of us here today? Well, at its most basic level, this story of Jesus in the wilderness gives us some practical advice. Some practical advice for those times when we find ourselves in a spiritual wilderness, when we find ourselves facing obstacles or challenges in our lives. Jesus shows us that we can resist the challenges and obstacles the devil puts in front of us by trusting in God's word. This is truly helpful advice, especially during those times when we're weak or weary. That's when we're most vulnerable. So whenever we're sick or grieving or anxious or lonely or even just hungry, whenever we're facing obstacles in any situation, we are encouraged to trust in God's word, to hold fast to the promises. Just as Jesus chased the devil away with that word of God, we can do the same. So there's an example Jesus is setting, some advice that he's giving us. But this isn't the best thing that's going on in this story. After all, Jesus doesn't say anything here that Moses didn't already say. Moses could have given us this advice. In fact, he did. Jesus did something much more in the wilderness than just give us an example to follow. Jesus was completing the course that humanity never could. Jesus was walking in faithfulness and in obedience in a way that Adam and Eve and all of Israel and you and me have not been able to accomplish. Jesus has succeeded where humanity has utterly failed. And then Jesus would go on to share that victory with us. And that brings us back around to our second reading for today. I just love how all the three main readings fit together so beautifully on this first Sunday in Lent. Because this is precisely what Paul is talking about. It's kind of hard to follow Paul sometimes, but the essence of what Paul is saying in our reading for today, he says that death exercised dominion from Adam through Moses. That is to say that all the way from Adam through Moses and on, death exercised dominion. People kept falling into the water. People kept falling and failing in that obstacle course. Until Christ came. Death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses until Christ came. No one had completed that course of faith until Jesus did. And now that he has, Paul says, he shares his victory with us. Just listen to these words. "Therefore, just as one man's trespass," talking about Adam, "therefore, as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness," Jesus, "leads to justification and life for all. Just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." As we spend our own 40 days in the wilderness during this season of Lent, we would do well to cling to God's word. As we make our way through the obstacle course of life, as we make our way through all different spiritual challenges that we face in life, we would do well to live by God's word. The Christian life is often a struggle. It's a struggle against sin. It's a struggle against temptations from the evil one who's always trying to knock us off course. The Christian life oftentimes is a battle, and we need to fight back in the strength of God's word. We will stumble. Oh, how we will stumble. Half of us won't make it out of the parking lot this morning without being thrown off course. But thanks be to God, as the Apostle Paul wrote, "One man's act of righteousness has led to justification and life for all." We don't need to be afraid, and we certainly shouldn't give up, Because we are walking in the path that Jesus has already trod for us. We walk in the footsteps of our Savior. We don't need to be afraid, and we shouldn't give up, because we know that ultimately He has already conquered this course for us. He went through the wilderness and ultimately to the cross for us. In His resurrection, Jesus has breached the wall, conquering sin, death, and the devil. Jesus has pushed that button of victory, and He shares that victory with all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing. The words are on the screen for this one.